today.
States are considering banning texting while you drive. Isn't that a no-brainer? Yay or nay, my friends across America. Hey, someone tried to convince me earlier in the day it was too big brotherish. Have you tried to sell a house lately? Existing home sales way down in December. I have the ugly numbers. And stimulus for the middle class. That's what Obama and his pal Joe Biden were talking about earlier in the day. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, as we set forth on this journey for the next 4 hours here on these airwaves across the land, long and far and everywhere in between. Remember, you can always throw in your two cents, whether it's on banning texting while driving. I mean, you do have to stretch your imagination. I think you have to ban texting. As much as I'm all about small government and not interfering and not too many ridiculous laws, there are too many people getting hurt out there, too many distractions for drivers who are already horrible. So I'm going to say ban texting. Who can drive and look down at the same time? Not me. So you can throw in your two cents on that or any of the things that we will peruse here in this first hour on ATN, 800-259-5791. When you hear that you're going to get a break if you're in the so-called middle class. Is there such a place anymore? Is there a middle class? Well, the president knows that America is obviously upset over what's going on with overtaxation and the possibility of paying more taxes and health care reform and everything that's been discussed backwards and forwards with health care reform and how that'll affect you. I mean, really, it is the conversation. It always comes back to the do, re, mi for everybody. It doesn't matter how much you got. It's always how much does the government want to take from you. So whenever an elected official can get up there and tell you how you're going to save some money, this country is going to help you get back on your feet or any numerous possible pieces of a jigsaw puzzle relating to your wallet. Usually politicians think this is a good time to seize the moment when you've got a plan. This time the president took the vice president with him for a little help from a brother, and here's how it went down.
And the president and you and I have long believed that you can't have a strong America without a growing middle class. It's that simple. It's that basic. And right now, the middle class is nowhere near as strong as it needs to be. So next month, the middle class task force is going to deliver its final report, not final, its year-end report to the president. And this afternoon, we're spotlighting some of the items in that report that the president is going to be including in the upcoming budget.
Joe and I are going to keep on fighting for what matters to middle class families. An education that gives our kids a chance in life, new clean energy economy that generates the good jobs of the future, meaningful financial reforms that protect consumers, and health reform that prohibits the worst practices of the insurance industry and restores some stability and peace of mind for middle-class families. Because in the end, that's how Joe and I measure progress. Not by how the markets are doing, but by how the American people are doing.
It's interesting, if you caught the one little nugget in that moment there, he talked about cleaning a clean energy economy. What's interesting there is a Pew poll just comes out today saying that Americans really aren't concerned about global warming. In fact, it's last on the list. But the push is go green means more money for you, means a better economy. But are you buying that equation? We'll get into that a little bit later. However, in fact, coming up next on the show, we're going to talk to a man whose company, an entrepreneur whose company, is all about trying to recycle CO2. Yeah. So what's that all about, and what could that possibly do, and how could that affect your life? Well, it could affect your life if there was an effective way to do it and press it back into our hands, so to speak. But we'll get into that in just a few here. In the meantime, back to the president. The president is proposing, by the way, a 3-year freeze in discretionary non-security spending. This is part of the budget he's going to unveil a week from now. This is all starting to sort of circulate. And part of this proposal during the State of the Union, he's going to describe it as saving $250 billion over 10 years. $250 billion over 10 years, okay? This is a numbers thing. And that means it would be relative, basically, to what spending is on those programs that otherwise would have been. That sounds confusing, doesn't it? So the goal is to keep the budget from the affected agencies at or below, here's another number, $447 billion that was spent on them this past year. And that's the freeze. What a challenge that'll be, right? So moving forward, talking about the budget, which is 2011, and that's the transition, then transitioning the focus, trying to get every dollar from the federal that the federal government has. This is what Obama is proposing. The spending freeze is going to be like a bull in a china shop, because the support among other Democrats, many of those who view limitations as pretty risky politics and certainly policy when there's this deep economic recession, unless you talk to this Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, who thinks it's all sunshine, then he's going to have some foes. He's going to have some foes on this for sure. The House, basically, will have a larger role than the President in assuring that some kind of a spending freeze is even implemented. And they rejected the proposal after it was initially kind of floated out there. One of the key strategists said that the president was taking a page out of a GOP playbook for the purpose of placating Republican critics. And see, this is the problem. I think it's, at this point, a lot of Democrats are saying, how can we stand by our man when he's not giving us what he originally promised? So now the backpedaling begins, as it often does in politics, whether it's a Republican or whether it's a Democrat, but particularly what we're seeing right now in this moment with this administration. Good luck trying to freeze all that. I mean, there is they do have a point here for being worried, because it is very risky, very risky. Spending limits means the EPA, the Commerce Department, Health and Human Services, the Department of the Interior, you go all the way down the list, and they may need extra float money. And the president's saying, hey, if more money is needed at one agency, it can go there, but only at the expense of another. So they're saying it's not a blunt across-the-board freeze, but some agencies will go up, others will go down. That means, to me, they call it a riff. They might be having a riff in some of those governmental jobs, meaning layoffs. There might be some layoffs in, I don't know, pick an agency, perhaps the IRS. It'll be interesting to see how this is actually pushed forward. If they're doing this in 2011, then that would have to carry over, I would think, to the next budget, 2012. And how much money are you going to save in this? They've already been alerted, these agencies, to plan for a freeze or even a 5% cut in their budgets. If you're going to the DMV, make sure you take War and Peace with you, because they may only have two people working there to pop out all those driver's licenses, whether you just need to renew or you have to go there and take a test or for whatever reason. It could be a very long wait. I'm just saying. Stay with us. Much more to come here on ATN.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237. 2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come into town. One more time.
Hey, coming up on America Tonight in our Week in Count segment, guys, get ready for this. Conan O'Brien, he just hit the cover off the ball on his last show. Wow, the ratings, incredible. So we're going to talk about that. As always, Kate, swing with you, and we are swinging for the fences. So pleased to welcome our next guest to the show. Fascinating stuff that his company's doing. CEO of Carbon Sciences, Inc., Byron Elton, joins us now, and they're talking about CO2 recycling. Imagine. Hey, Byron, how are you?
Good morning. Doing just fine. How are you?
Thanks for joining us so late. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Let's talk about what your company does, because I guarantee what I just said probably caught some ears out there, and they're wondering, okay, how does this work? Now, you do have something posted on YouTube, and it's excellent, and it explains it better than I've heard anyone try to explain it and break it down. But if you would you explain to the audience what it is that your company's doing?
Sure. Well, Carbon Sciences is a Santa Barbara, California-based company, and we are developing a technology that, as you mentioned, essentially recycles carbon dioxide into liquid portable fuels. It's a renewable and sustainable fuel technology that's getting a lot of attention, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and you know, there are other ways to do that, but if you can recycle it, just imagine, obviously, you know that, that's why you've got the company, but how available would this be? I mean, this could be amazing across the country if we could do this, pump this out there. What a great thing moving into the future, right?
Absolutely. You know, the world faces some significant challenges both in the areas of energy and in climate, and the two are inextricably linked together. From an energy standpoint, the question that we all have to ask is, how are we going to continue to obtain the kinds of energy that we need to maintain our lifestyle and to move the world forward? You know, the world moves on energy.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, is there a way of doing that without destroying the environment, that we can be good stewards? And we believe with our technology the answer to both of those is yes. And these are important questions because the amount of energy needed is absolutely massive. You know, the demand for energy worldwide is the highest that it's ever been in the world. And with what's going on in China and Brazil and India and some of these emerging countries, the demand is estimated to go up by 50% over today in just 20 years. So the current system of getting fuel, particularly liquid portable fuels, the fuel that we use in our gas, in our cars and boats and trains and airplanes, is the fuel that we need. You know, with all the wonderful work that's going on in solar and wind and whatnot, it can replace a lot of electricity, but you can't fly airplanes, for instance, on electricity. And so we need the kind of fuel that the current infrastructure uses. So our technology looks at the issue of extraordinary amounts of CO2 available to us that currently are just going up into the air and causing all kinds of problems. The solution that most people talk about in terms of what do you do about that is to what they call CCS, and that's carbon capture and sequestration, which is grab the carbon dioxide at its source, compress it, and then hide it in the ground somewhere. We, along with a lot of other people, think that there are tremendous challenges and problems with that. And so our approach is more novel and we think ultimately more compelling, and that is take that carbon dioxide, a heretofore wasted resource, recycle it back through our biocatalytic process and turn it back into the fuels that we use.
Wow. So, and then you look at this and it would mean basically what catalysts and I guess enzymes, as it's been explained to me, would reduce that overall threshold for the reaction to take place and then improve the speed when you're talking about where does the energy come from to actually drive the process. Am I right? So it's the reaction kinetics, basically,
yes,
engineering-wise?
Yeah, it's an enzymatic, it's a biocatalytic process. So these biocatalysts are actually enzymes. That's just another word for them. And in many ways, it's it mimics the natural process. And essentially, it's the same way that fuel is produced in nature over millions of years. It starts with CO2, which are absorbed by plants and then buried and turned into petroleum, which we dig up and refine and transport and use. In our case, these are the enzymes that are very specifically designed to stitch together carbon and hydrogen molecules, the carbon coming from the carbon dioxide, hydrogen coming from water, to create hydrocarbons, which are the building blocks for fuel. So we do it much more efficiently than nature and much quicker. But the real benefit of it, it's a very direct path from CO2 to fuel. All fuel starts with CO2 in one way or another. A lot of circuitous routes to get there. Biofuels are doing it through algae and other kinds of switchgrass and whatnot. In our case, it's directly from CO2 to fuel. You mentioned energy output, and that's a really important question to ask anybody who's looking to produce renewable fuel, and that is the juice worth the squeeze, right? In other words, are you using more energy to make the energy than you are getting out of it? In our case, it takes case because it's a biocatalytic environment. It actually takes place in a very mild environment, essentially room temperature, atmospheric pressure, and so the carbon footprint is quite low. And of course, the fuel that we're making with this process is the fuel we're using. So it's the same gasoline that's going into your car, same gasoline that's going into an airplane. No need for additional infrastructure or investments in the supply chain or different kinds of engines. And then the last point is just scale. You know, these challenges are so massive. The United States spends $1 billion a day on energy, most of it in liquid portable fuels, and unfortunately a tremendous transfer of wealth to people who don't necessarily have our best interests at heart. And so if you're going to really take a whack at solving this problem, you have to be able to make an extraordinary amount of fuel. And in our case, the scaling opportunities are quite extraordinary. We can produce significant amounts of fuel because the carbon dioxide is so prevalent and so readily available to us.
When you first started doing this, I'm curious, because we're talking about, like you said, it's so readily available. What did you initially test with? What substance did you use, I guess?
Yeah, great question. So the company was formed essentially to see what could be done, what valuable products could be made from carbon dioxide, instead of just wasting it or hiding it. Now, the ultimate goal was always fuel, but there was a couple things that happened to get us there. The first product that the company started making was a calcium carbonate, and then a precipitated calcium carbonate, which is a fine white powder actually used in building products and some food products and whatnot. Nice little business, but certainly not fuel, which is the largest market in the world, bigger than food.
That's right.
And so we were very fortunate to join us Dr. Naveed Aslam. Dr. Aslam is our current chief technology officer. He's the inventor of the technology. And he's the one that invented this very, very novel way of using this biocatalytic reaction to produce fuel. Now, it's been done before. You know, there are people, this is not, this is applied science. It's not new science.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge that everybody always had was it being able to do it at a cost that would be commercially viable. And the two issues are, these enzymes are not inexpensive. Now, they're really good at what they do, but they don't last very long. And so they'll go in and they'll do a number of missions and then they die or they're exhausted or depleted. And so you have to continue to replace them all the time. The resulting gallon of gasoline is very, very, very expensive. And the other is just the kinetics, the reaction time. How long does it take to do it? Because the longer it takes, obviously, the more expensive it becomes, and the fewer number of missions that these biocatalysts can perform, the cost goes way up. And so the real breakthrough for us was, and we've applied for a patent on this, is what we call our smart particle technology, or it's a nanoscale reactor. It's actually a physical housing. It's an encapsulation where these enzymes live, and it allows them to continue to efficiently perform mission over mission and over mission without dying out. And so that was the real breakthrough that allowed us to see the path to being able to commercially develop a renewable and sustainable fuel technology that's really going to make a difference and be successful.
We only have a minute left, and so I just want to ask this quick question because this is what everyone's going to wonder. You talked about the patent. When are you hoping that this would be readily available? When is this package going to be ready to roll?
Well, great question. And, you know, the science is the law of the harvest. There are no shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've been able to accomplish so far has been very, very promising. We've done it on a lab scale. We have a prototype. We're making small amounts of fuel. The real question is taking it to scale and scaling it up. We believe that within the next year, we will be announcing and have a strategic partner for a full-scale pilot plant who will be initiating and using this technology on a very, very large scale, probably co-located, well, it will be co-located at a large emission site, coal-fired plant, a cement factory, a steel plant, whatever it may be. But we believe within a year we'll be there. Certainly have made the announcement.
Excellent. Well, we'll be anxious to see what happens there. It's fascinating stuff. Byron Elton, CEO of Carbon Sciences, Inc., thanks so much for spending time with us on America Tonight, and we'll be looking for you in the future.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's interesting talking about alternatives. And imagine on the grand scale if this were to be super successful. And there are others who are trying to do a similar thing. At Sandia Laboratory, they're trying to develop something similar with CO2 and sunlight, but they're having problems in converting this on the grand scale, as Byron was saying, with his own company. Stay with us. More on the flip side.
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
It's funny, huh, man? Only thinks about the you got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain, I'm looking at you.
I don't give a cake looking at my. It don't mean a thing if you're looking at my. I'ma do my thing while you're playing with your.
It's interesting. We just talked to Byron Elton from Carbon Sciences with the CO2 recycling, and boy, he'd have a fortune. He'd have a fortune in a gas tank if he's able to do that on a mass scale. And as I mentioned, Sandia Labs, they're trying to do the same thing. And there are other people trying to attack that problem. But the green side of the CO2 is what's fascinating to me, because with all of us and so much of what's happening in our own neighborhoods and our concerns, healthcare, I started right from the get-go here talking about the wallet and Obama saying there was going to be a freeze on agencies and even a 5% cut in some because he's going to keep the level, the numbers down, and how some government people will react to that and also how some Democrats will react to that. And then ultimately his little speech today with Joe Biden about the middle class and stimulating the middle class with some breaks, mostly child care, by the way, is one of them, and it doesn't kick in until 2011 anyway if it goes through. So it comes back to the wallet. It does. It comes back to the wallet. And Pew does a poll. It turns out that the economy and jobs and terrorism are our top concerns. I know you are blown away by this smart audience that you are. So as the president swings into his second year, the global warming issue is a non-issue for way too many people in this country to be worrying about global warming. And that was the whole thing with Copenhagen. Let's get to Copenhagen. We're all flying there. And nothing came out of those meetings. Then we had the scientist who said, ooh, how do I manipulate the numbers? And those emails leaked out. Then you have scientists you can line up on both sides of the equation, if you will. Ones that will tell you, yes, it is a concern. Others that will tell you, no, it is not a concern. There is no doubt that we should develop other alternatives for fuel. Why not? I mean, I just watched this afternoon a documentary that actually Kathy in Michigan sent me again, Who Killed the Electric Car. Fascinating stuff. Because the electric car, if you could have access to an electric car at an affordable price for some people, that would mean you'd save, I think, a lot if you put it against fuel prices now. But who killed the electric car? Well, the automakers, because of gasoline and the politicians and, you know, look around. It was an interesting documentary. And they talk specifically about a car that was on the road that they took all the leases back on. I'm going to have some people on down the line to talk about that. But anyway, global warming as a whole, just the issue global warming, was last on the list in this Pew poll for top priorities. I mentioned the top three. Social Security was behind that. Education behind that. That makes sense. Medicare, aging population. We're concerned about Medicare benefits. I've said I worry about my mother. Also, health care is on the list. Helping the poor. Military. Energy. And see, energy is right there in the middle of the pack, which goes along with what we were saying about developing these alternatives. That's all good. But global warming as an issue is dead last, dead last. More than 6 in 10 Americans say securing the Social Security system and securing the Medicare system should be the top priorities for Obama and Congress. They're not concerned about global warming and the environment. Just 28% consider this a top priority. Tells you where what people are thinking about. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Sam, you have the floor. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, gorgeous?
I'm hanging in.
Good, good, good. Okay, before a conversation ended last night, just to let you know that Saturday there was a demonstrations all over Canada telling Steve Harper, hey, get back to work. Don't, you know, suspend Parliament till after the Olympics. This is, you know, Canadians' Parliament, not yours.
That's right. We're paying the freight. We're paying your salary. So
yeah.
You want to go watch for one night? That's fine. But don't stay there the whole time.
Right. In fact, Parliament was supposed to come back today. So some of the members of Parliament went back as sort of like a symbolic gesture, just to show Harper, hey, we're waiting to get back to work. Let's go.
Yeah, the Olympics. It's interesting you bring up the Olympics. It's hard to believe, just a couple of weeks away, Vancouver, the site.
Right.
And you know, I've paid attention a little bit to the training and what's going on. But right. Harper would obviously be there for the opening ceremony and for the closing ceremony. But I don't think with everything that's happening, I agree with you, Sam. He needs to show a force of I'm working and I'm right there with everybody else.
Right, right, right. Now, just to get off the beaten track, to talk about our favorite sport for a moment, there was a player in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League who played with Rouen Noranda named Patrice Cormier. Last week, he gave a very dangerous elbow to a player from the Quebec Ramparts, whose owner, coach, is Patrick Waugh. And the player went down so hard on the ice, he started going into convulsions. Yeah, so he's out for the year, and he doesn't know what's going on with his hockey career. The league came down today with its penalty. Suspended for the rest of the season plus playoffs. And the NHL team that owns his rights is the New Jersey Devils, and the Devils said he shouldn't have been punished like that. Like, hello? You know, the player he hurt, you know, that could be the end of his hockey career. So, the league commissioner said, hey, we're setting a precedent. Anyone who doesn't in our league will be in big trouble. And the funny part was, this guy Cormier was the team captain for Canada at the recent World Junior Hockey Championships. So go figure.
Yeah, really. Go figure.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, sometimes, like I timekeep little kids hockey once in a while, and sometimes I watch some of these kids, and they try to emulate some of their, you know, famous, you know, some of their favorite players, you know, maybe with stick handling or skating. But when, you know, when they start doing like the rough stuff, like some of the NHL players, it's like, kids, what are the odds you make it to the NHL and don't do it. It's like monkey see, monkey do type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, or you know, who really eggs it on? I guess you, I don't even ever, if you've ever covered kids' sports, the parents. You know.
Oh, well, I've talked about this, and I've talked about this whenever I've done sports shows. We've had incidents happen. Like, remember in Boston, the guy that was killed, and some of the crazy nonsense that happens where kids are being pushed to the limit, and either the kids being pushed to the limit, or you have parents that are so ridiculous in the rink or at the football field somewhere in some high school game being played across America or elsewhere, that it's, you know, they need to take a breath. They need to take a step back. It's and it hasn't really gotten that much better, according to some of the referees that I know.
You're talking to one of them. I know, but
you see it.
Right. It's like after a while, you know, it's like my attitude is if a parent knocks on my door nicely and says, excuse me, Mr. Referee, could you explain that call to me? I will say, yeah, sure. But if they come, don't even bother knocking on the door. Just walk right in. Hey, what'd you make that stupid blankety-blank call for? I go, get out.
Mm.
Get out. Or one time, I got to tell you a quick story and then I'll go. One time it was me, two other males and a female referee. So we're all walking in the room and a parent's pounding on the door. I want to talk to you. Name calling about the stupid call you made. So then the female referee tells us, go in the bathroom. Okay. So then she says a couple of seconds later, come in. He goes, I want to, doesn't say a word, turns around and walks out. I said, can we come back in now? She goes, hold on a sec. She goes, no, you can't. She was fixing herself. She took off her referee shirt and was topless. So when the guy walks in, he didn't say a word. He just said, oops, excuse me, and walked out. That was the end of that. You know, just, she wanted to do it just to shut him up. I know it sounds kind of like very, I don't know what the word is, but there are some parents, it's like, if I didn't have the referee shirt on, I've been tempted to go up in the stands, and right now I'd be in jail for murder.
Oh, boy, you lead me right into our next story. Thanks, Sam.
Take care.
And watch that temper out there. He's, you know what, in refereeing, Sam knows, and dealing with these parents and how they can be. Speaking of that, this is a sad story. Nancy Kerrigan's brother pled not guilty for killing his father. The father was 70-year-old Daniel Kerrigan, and here we are getting ready to turn to the Olympics and skating and the popularity of the Olympic Games, the intense competition and all that stuff. It makes you think of the 90s. Remember when Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed on her right knee by Tanya Harding through somebody else that orchestrated the attack. So Daniel Kerrigan was found on the floor of his house unconscious by the cops who responded to a 911 call late in the wee hours on Sunday. Taken to the hospital, they rushed him there, but he was pronounced dead. The autopsy, of course, they haven't done that at this point. But the brother, Mark Kerrigan, had a history of violence, of domestic violence. He was living with the family, and what's being reported is that he was drunk. He was smashed when he was found on the couch in the basement of the house, and he was very combative, and they tried to question him, and they had to ultimately spray pepper spray all over him just to subdue him and eventually arrest him. He said that he wanted to use the phone, and his father wouldn't let him. He said he struggled with his father. He put his hands around his father's neck, and his father fell to the floor. Oof. He said he thought his father was faking it. He believed his father was faking it. There was blood on the floor near where the father, Daniel Kerrigan, was treated by the emergency workers. There was a sign of a struggle, and some pictures had been knocked over, and a piece of the phone was on the floor. This is going to get certainly very, very ugly and a dark cloud, sadly, for the Kerrigan family. Daily salutes, and we can count next.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD-SEED. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
Well, it wasn't quite a 12, but check this out. Conan O'Brien scored a 7 rating, for his final appearance on NBC Friday. I watched the whole thing. I thought it was well done, and I thought he was very classy at the end. He thanked NBC, said he had been there for 20 years, that comedians would love to be in his place, that he was reading some of the things on the Internet, and he appreciated the support, but he didn't like the cynicism and told people to be kind, and that's how things happen, and that he's one of the luckiest people that he knows. And it was he really did do a classy job of going out. And then Neil Young came on the show, Tom Hanks came on the show and kind of fawned on him, talked about how he was a young writer on Saturday Night Live with freaky sideburns and his little pasty skin coming to the Hanks house and scaring the kids because of the way he looked. And helping to write the sketches with a couple of other guys. So it was a very, very well done send-off. 7 rating. It's tough to break that down into audience numbers, only you would know in looking at rating numbers, that's about 70% of the country. The total viewer number will happen probably later in the week, but the preliminary number is an amazing number. Here's what you compare it with. On CBS, The Late Show with David Letterman, that was pretty much neck and neck with Leno the entire time Leno was on. Leno was a little bit ahead of Letterman. But David Letterman got a 2.5 for his Friday show. Nightline on ABC scored a 2.8. Jimmy Kimmel Live, which would be followed after Nightline, 1.3. So those are pretty big numbers. It was a couple of weeks of, you know, funny skits, I think, and 8 months where he was excited to be on the helm of the Tonight Show. I just don't think 8 months in a place like the Tonight Show, you can get warmed up. I think somebody needs a couple of years anyway in any form of broadcast media, usually, for people to catch on, unless you're a flash in the pan or it's the reality show, one-hit wonder deals, something like that. But the Tonight Show, he needed a little bit more than 8 months to be able to say he was going to bomb, he was going to do well, he was going to be okay. Jay Leno did it for 17 years. So now Jay Leno in March goes back to the Tonight Show. But what a way to go out for Conan O'Brien. And now Fox truly is. His agent said a week or so ago that nobody had a substantial offer. But apparently Fox is really serious about courting Conan O'Brien. And I think it would probably be a good fit for him. And it'll end up helping Fox's ratings. They've tried with other talk shows and haven't had much success, but I think he could be the thing that works for them. As we continue on We Can Count, another interesting number popped up. As I can be jaded because I'm a fan of sports and I'll watch almost anything. I mean, I like to fish, but I won't really watch fishing, okay? So I'll cop to that. One of my pals, an old cowboy, did a fishing show for a while, Jay Novacek, and occasionally I would check that out just in case he asked me, but I won't really watch those shows. So I would be one of however many in the country that would watch the football game regardless, or would watch whatever big sporting event was on. But there were big numbers. There were big numbers for that NFC Championship game. Almost 60 million people watched the Vikings lose to the Saints. Fox, they have to be dancing a jig. I mean, Rupert Murdoch couldn't be happier with the cha-ching factor of everything, really, let's be honest, that he has going on. They project, the real numbers, 57.9 million viewers, a 21.3 rating, and that's at a level they want. We're talking about adults 18 to 49. So it makes the Vikings-Saints game the biggest event of the season so far and the most watched NFC Championship game in Fox's history. You compare that with what the other networks had. Most of them did repeats, which was probably smart because they knew. ABC had a extreme makeover home edition thing, and they had 7.9 million viewers, but that's an amazing number. So, wow. And a field goal ended it. Ended it for the Vikings and, of course, sent the Saints in overtime to Miami. Talking to a lot of people in Minneapolis today who were very sad. Very sad about those Vikings. And the obvious question is, Brett Favre, are you coming back? And Brad Childress said he told Brett Favre, take some time. You know, this is, lick your wounds. This is rough. This is hard. And Brett Favre hinted that he wouldn't come back. He was leaning in that direction, but didn't actually say it. The number one fan of the Vikings, of course, is here on the Technicals at America Tonight, Matt Johnson, who had a dreary Monday, I'm sure, but he'll get over it. Matt, the talk really is now over Brett Favre, naturally. Do you think he'll come back?
I don't think we'll know until next September. And I'm being completely honest, because I think there's, even if it's training camp starting, there's still a chance he's going to come back. Because he's going to do the same Brett Favre thing he always does, where I bet you a month from now he'll retire. Then in July you'll get a report of him throwing the ball around with the high school kids. Ooh, feeling kind of good. And then you'll see him in purple in by week one. So I think he's coming back.
I agree. I talked to someone at Fox today who gets pretty much the inside scoop and knows Brett Favre, you know, knows him from things he's told him off the record. And in our conversation, he said the very same thing to me. What do you think will happen? And he said the same thing. We're going to go through the camps because he's not going to go back for another camp anyway. Right. And so why, if there is even a little tiny chance, keep the door open, because there are quarterbacks in the wings for the Vikings, so you would bring up the younger troops anyway. They'll take the snaps at camp, and just wait and see at the end of August, beginning of September. I really think that's how that story plays out, too.
Yep, and the talk is still about how the game ended and the bad feelings about it. I actually just got off the phone with my buddy about 10 minutes ago looking to see if I was around to drown sorrows with.
Yeah, so
it's still pretty negative around here.
Yeah, it's tough, definitely. All right, poor fans, poor Matt. Last one for We Can Count, by the way. I meant to throw this in with the Conan O'Brien huge ratings. Tom Hanks, as I mentioned, was on the show and was funny and fun with Conan and relived something that happened 20 years ago. He was the final guest, and Conan apparently blew $500,000 on Hanks' walkout song. When Tom Hanks came from behind the curtain to go to his seat, when they come out, the band played the Beatles' Lovely Rita. His wife is Rita Wilson. I'm sure it was in reference to that. That cost NBC that amount of money. So, because that's what happens when you pay, you've got to pay royalty fees, and they played that, and so they have to pay the money for it. He also played Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones when Adam Sandler was on. So there were a couple of subtle jabs that he certainly took at NBC. All right, finally, here is our daily salute. Saving a German shepherd stuck in the Los Angeles River was the right thing to do, I think so. And that's what the fire department did, the Los Angeles Fire Department. Now they're starting to take some licks because people are complaining. Why did you waste the money, extra taxpayer money? Was it used? And, you know, why did you take that risk with the crew? The helicopter and the water rescue crew members that saved the dog on Friday have really been hailed as heroes around the country and certainly in California. It was all over television. It was on radio. They were congratulated. But now they're being vilified by some people saying that they shouldn't have used any money in any kind of a rescue effort to save a dog. I say that's sour grapes or perhaps people who don't like animals, right? Remember, you can always flip me an email, americatonight.net.
I love how intense you guys are about your Vikings.
I'm stupid. You're smart.
You just don't get it, do you? You don't.
Worse? How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.